Please bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all the people that are here today, that we all made it here safe, and thank you for the beautiful spirit that's here this morning. And Lord, I just ask that you please bless the money that's collected, that it'll go towards your work and bless many people, and just thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
To embrace. I'd like to welcome you all here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We did have one change to the bulletin, and that is the special music will be brought by the Smiths. We actually include the Smiths, Bates, Nixons, Nordines, and what? Martins, yes, and the Martins. So, but they're all related, so they all come from the Smith side. So I'd like to, like I said, I'd like to welcome you here this morning. And I'd like to start off by reading from the Doctrine and Covenants. Section 117, and I'll go ahead and read 13 and 14. I didn't want to put the whole thing in the bulletin just because it's a little bit longer, and 14 is the meat of it. So I'll go ahead and read 13 and 14. And it says, "Let contentions and quarrelings among you cease. Sustain each other in peace, and ye shall be blessed with my spirit in comforting and strengthening you for my work. It is not expedient that I command you further at this time, but be ye diligent, wise, and faithful, doing all things with an eye single to the glory of your God and for the good of the people. Thus saith the Lord, amen." You know, we've just had the Christmas season and have been focusing on peace and Jesus Christ, and that is something that we need to remember, not just during this time of year, but something that we need to remember throughout our lives. And so in that spirit, let's go ahead and open our hymnals to hymn number 106, Silent Night. And we'll go ahead and stand for the singing of this hymn.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. And I pray that your Spirit would be with us and direct our service, especially Josh, as he brings that message that you have placed on his heart. I pray that you would loose his tongue and open his heart to those things that you would have him give. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with each person here as we receive that message. Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
My scripture reading comes from the book of Moroni, chapter 10, verses 6 through 7. And whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And ye may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today and tomorrow and forever.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say thank you. That was absolutely beautiful, and it's a really good way to get prepared for this, as prepared as I can be, I guess. For any of you who don't know me, my name is Josh Pedersen. I'm a priest from Outreach Restoration Branch. It's always a pleasure to come and see you guys here, and I'm a bit apprehensive. This is my first time preaching here, but for any of you who don't know where I come from, I'm the youngest of the Kent and Sherry Pedersens, and I'm George and Anissa's grandson, and all the other relations throughout there. But I like to share a testimony when I'm at new branches where some people may not know me. I feel like it kind of makes a quick little adjustment to where everyone can kind of hopefully see about where I'm coming from in my walk, and hopefully can stir up things that maybe we can share testimonies later. I always do enjoy that. Mine happens to be hopefully not as long as it has been in the past, but I would like to share how I came to be in the point of my faith where I'm at. Sorry, that was a bit oddly worded. But I was raised in the church, as most of the people my age were, and I was always taught what things were good and what things were bad. And my parents, I'd like to think, did a pretty good job of raising me and telling me what was appropriate. And I happened to do a very common thing, and I decided to do the exact opposite of most of what they had told me. And I lived my life the first many years kind of in a quiet rebellion, very, very afraid to be found out, but very anxious to not do what I was told. And I went to a school where it was kind of crazy for a while, and then I transferred over to Center Place Restoration School, and that was a bit of a change as well. I was expecting not what it was. I had always heard terrible things, but it happened to be a wonderful school. And I thought, okay, well, I got to be perfect now. I'm at a church school, and you know what happens if you step out of line there. And so I kept it hidden more, and they have a camp, the RCI camps. I went to those a lot, and we went to the Mammoth camp, the senior high camp, and always had a great time. And every year I left feeling, oh man, I'm just going to stop everything, and I'm going to be the best Christian in the world. And I mean, within a month, I was right back to where I was before camp. And it was kind of an arduous procedure. I felt I had to go to camp, and when I got to camp, I enjoyed it, but I left not feeling much different. And so by our senior year of high school, after our senior year, a group of friends and I decided, all right, well, we're just going to have fun. This Mammoth Camp is an incredibly enjoyable time. There's tubing and, at the time, horseback riding. And you get to see people from all over the world. We had friends from Mexico City. And, granted, Dean was from America, basically, but he was from Kenya. And so we got to see people we hadn't seen in a while, and just got to have a great time. And so we were just very dead set that we were just going to have some fun. And I think Sunday, we just had a great time and saw everyone caught up. There was just lots of joyful reunions. But by Monday, one of our friends had started to have some pain in his back, and he asked for an administration. And I missed it for some reason. I wanted to be there just for support, but I heard they had a wonderful time, and the spirit was very heavily pressed upon them, and they're telling me all these wonderful stories of the administration, and I'm sitting in my bed kind of like, oh man, I think I'm going to want to change again. And I was kind of worried because my friends and I had spent a good deal talking about how we just don't want to change, and almost in a way taking bets as to who would be the first one to crack. And I was mildly embarrassed that I thought it was going to be me. And so Tuesday rolls around, and I'm still kind of battling with this myself, and I don't want to change, but I really, really just want to feel the Lord's Spirit again. It's a sweet thing. And I kind of struggled, and so I started praying and fasting and just doing what I thought I needed to do to feel the Lord's Spirit. And so I did that all day on Tuesday, and I felt that I had done some really good preparation. So by Wednesday, I was having some pretty high hopes, and I was started off the day, and I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm ready for you. And then all day, just absolutely nothing, not anything. I was getting pretty tired of it by the Wednesday night talent show. And I was kind of excited because the talent show is always really cool. Some people have some excellent talents in our church and they showcase them quite well. And it's always just a great time. You get to be goofy and have fun and kind of forget about stuff for a little bit. So I was excited. Got to kind of forget that I felt abandoned and have some fun. And to my horror, they switched it to a serious note. So everyone gets done goofing off, and then suddenly they start worshiping, and my heart just sunk, and I was a little upset, but I was also thinking, maybe this is my chance. Maybe I get to feel the Lord's Spirit again. And so they start singing this song, and it gets me every time, and I was so excited. Like, all right, this is going to be it. It's going to happen. And it didn't, and I just sat there, and I started to get a little bit angry. And I was praying, and I was just like, look, God, I've done my part, which I hadn't. But at the time, I felt a little justified. And I was kind of saying things I was always raised not to really tell your Lord and Savior. And I was kind of, in a way, scolding him, as I guess an angry child thinks he can scold his parents. And I was just like, God, where are you? You've completely abandoned me. I'm doing all this great stuff for you, and you're just leaving me to die. And so I gave an ultimatum to God also, as I've learned, not the best thing to do. And I just told him by the next song, if I didn't feel his Spirit, I was done. I was out, and I would never come back. And the next song was a song they sing at CPR's graduation every year. It's nothing new. I'd heard it quite a few times. It's called Bound for Greater Things. And the song had no special meaning to me. It was just that song we always have to listen to. And they started singing it. And I mean, to this day, I've never felt the Lord's Spirit so strongly. And I'm sure it was mildly a bit of a punishment because I felt kind of smashed into the ground. But I deserved every bit of it, and I enjoyed it. And I just felt so incredible. I was like, oh, God really does love me. And I was excited, and I went out to talk to my friend, and I said, hey man, you know, I was kind of embarrassed still, but I was excited, and I was kind of told him, you know, I'd felt the Spirit strongly, and I was done with the things we were doing, and it was different this year because it just felt different. God had answered my prayer directly, and there was no doubt anymore. And so he was okay, he was like, I'm excited for you, but, you know, I'll support you with everything you do, as we always will, but there's some things in my life I can't really get rid of at this moment. And so that kind of troubled me, because I really wanted my friend to feel what I was feeling that moment, and I was just so excited and such a great feeling. I needed all of my friends, who are practically my brothers, to feel that. And so we went into this next service, and there was a campfire, and we started praying, and I started praying for my friend that God would just let him know. And I felt like I wasn't enough, so I asked another friend to pray for him. And so we're in together praying for my good friend, and my prayer just the whole time was that God would let him know that he loved him and needed him for his service. And I just prayed that over and over again, and I just couldn't get my mind off that one concept. And I never understood the term mighty prayer, and it very well may not have been what it was, but that's what I felt like it was. And so once I felt that I'd prayed sufficiently for my friend, my mind switched again and to all these people at this camp, and I probably knew half of them well, I'd say, and I was just filled with love for these people that I had known 3 days. And it really felt like I'd known them my whole life, and I was raised with them, and that they were the greatest of friends to me. And I just felt a deep love for everyone there. And it was kind of also one of those things where another quick thought popped in my head, and it was just, you know, that's not your love for them. And then that's not even Christ's whole love for them. That is just a tiny little fraction of the love that God feels for all of his children. And so the service concludes, and this person walks up to my friend and says, look, man, God loves you and needs you for his service. Not just once, but five people came and said the exact thing that I prayed God would tell my friend. And that was kind of a turning point for me. And it really kind of set my life to where I felt like I probably shouldn't be in open rebellion anymore. And it might be good for me to kind of listen to the words my parents told me. And God kind of, I guess if you will, bought me at that time. And I've tried to not turn my back since, but it's a long road. Which brings me to my first point, and that is we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And I oftentimes don't think of it that often, or just because I can't see it physically for the most part, and a lot of times I can't feel it, as sometimes it is just a subtle warfare. But it's there nonetheless, and at times, I know many people have felt it in force, and it is a very scary thing to be encountered by a spirit that's not holy. And there are many people who have had many experiences, and some who haven't, but there is always a fear, whether it's subtle or strong, to know that something that isn't of God is influencing your life. And it's, for me, it's a little worrisome, just because Satan has one goal, and it's not to make your day better, or to, while he may influence something to where you may get some money, or may, I've always heard the thing, you know, people talking about selling their souls and things. I don't know whether that has any credence, but it gives you that worldly happiness for a little bit. But what he wants is your soul, and he wants you to go with him at the end times. And that is scary, because he is a cunning person, or entity, whatever he technically is. He's cunning. You don't expect it, and he will do what he has to do to get you. So I've noticed a lot of times it's like the Casting Crowns song. It's a slow fade. You don't just immediately, a lot of people aren't going to be like, oh man, Satan, well, let's go hang out. It's okay, well, one tiny little thing here turns into a really big thing later. And we're definitely supposed to not let that happen. And there's a lot of things we've been told, a lot of ways we've been told to safeguard ourselves and to keep that from happening. And the one I would like to focus on today is consecration. There are many reasons to consecrate yourself, or your homes, your families, your lives. But we're told to tithe of our blessings as well. So I want to focus on the home, the physical aspect of our lives, our resting place, or our supposed resting place. The world is very dirty. It's not a good place, both physically and spiritually. There's a lot of things out there that you just prefer not to see. And I've noticed it feels good to come back to a place that is safe. And if your home isn't dedicated to the Lord, if you haven't given it to him, his spirit can dwell there, but it's not its home as well. And so if you make it God's home in your home, you have a place to come back. You have a shelter from the storm, if you will. And that is just a good place to recharge. Also, there's a protection. If you ask it of God, you can have a protection, a hedge around your home that keeps Satan out of it. And Mom and Dad don't live in the best neighborhood at all, by any means. And, you know, there's quite frequently you'd walk outside at night and hear gunshots, and some of my friends were a bit terrified to come over at times. But what wasn't understood is Mom and Dad had dedicated their home to the Lord. And I think they've lived there close to 30 years, maybe more. And if I'm speaking correctly, it's never been broken into. No property damage, except I think someone accidentally ran over a rock with the mower and busted out a window. And that's pretty astounding, considering if you don't know where they live, it's just there's a lot of bad things that happen in that area. But they made an effort to make their home God's home. And I believe they're very richly blessed, both in the physical aspect especially. But on a spiritual note, there's a a certain calming effect about my parents' home. And I noticed it coming home, and my friends would come over and, man, your house just feels right. There's just something there. And they try to pick it apart, and sometimes they'd be like, man, I don't know, what laundry detergent does your mom use? Because it's so welcoming. It feels homey. But they always pressed that it wasn't the smells of the house. It wasn't the decorating. Well, it was partially decorating because it focused on happy things. There was a picture of Christ. There were things welcoming God's sweet and comforting spirit. And it draws people. It can help your ministry to people if they come into your home and they feel something and they ask, what is that? How do you get that? Where did that come from? And there's many reasons to dedicate your home to Christ. And I can't list them all, but I feel like we've been given a lot of things to do. And if we do all of them, we can be given a lot of blessings. But I do just want to stick with that one today. But our church does have the dedication service, and I think it is very essential. Unfortunately, our home still hasn't been dedicated. There we go. But I do feel that we need to do that, but we haven't. But it is very important. And our church has the tools. I believe we have the authority. We can do things. We just have to do them. We have to reach out. God always gives us, he goes most of the way, and we just have to go a short distance, a short little work, a short little, I want to welcome Christ into my home sort of deal. But it doesn't just stop with your home, because it's all well and good if you dedicate your home to Christ, if you make an effort to make his home in your home. But that does nothing if you invite other spirits into your home. You can't just make it, the analogy I always heard was, in a way, a fortress. You're building up all these walls, but if you're leaving a crack for an invader to come in on purpose or accidental, you're still defeating the purpose of building the wall. I would like to read Moroni 8:29 just because I feel it describes it better than I could hope to in terms of how to make yourself someone who does not invite Satan into your heart and into your life. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the covenants, commandments, pardon me. And the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sins. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer, until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. We have all these tools, and I could never come close to describing how to do it perfectly, but I feel that the sacred writers have a really good way of putting things. And if we even follow the smallest bit of that, it just all falls into place. Something I always worried about was, well, I don't feel like I'm doing the right, if you will, works to get into the right glories, or I'm not doing the right things to be a good Christian. But if you actually do welcome Christ into your heart, if you love him and you want to do his will, for the most part, it kind of just falls into play. Your desires become what he wants you to do. And it was very comforting knowing that all we have to do is just welcome his spirit into your life and kind of gauge your life's decisions off that little, still small voice. That was something I really struggled with for a long time. But something that kind of always was difficult is, in terms of having a hedged up home, is even the tiniest things can invite Satan into your home. The wrong song on the radio, the wrong conversation in your living room, or even an argument, depending on how it goes, could very well invite something nasty into your home. And that doesn't mean that your home is forever cursed or anything, but it can really put little nicks and tears into your hedge and into your wall, as things generally tend to build up, and the small little nicks eventually turn into big gaping holes in your wall. And soon, it may not be one of those horror movies, but you may have just uncomfortable things in your home, uncomfortable spots where you just feel like something isn't right. But we also still have tools to get to that. But we are all called to withdraw from Babylon. We're all called to leave this world. We're told to be in the world, not of it. Throughout Scripture, it just says, don't do it. Don't follow the world. And being a peculiar and odd people at times kind of draws attention, and a lot of times people kind of will poke fun or mock at the things we believe, and just kind of, well, why do you, that's a little weird. Well, I can't believe you guys don't do that. But the benefits of being that weird person, quite wonderful. Something that Mom and Dad always tried to press was family devotions. We always tried to have those. Granted, as we got older, we kind of started, well, I don't want to do that. But while looking into this, it really made sense why they wanted to do those. That is a wonderful way to, in a way, wipe the slate clean at the end of the day. You may have invited a bad spirit in by your actions, but if you invite the Lord's spirit and then correct the action that invited that negative spirit, darkness flees from the light. And so if you're inviting Christ into your home daily, not just one time when you dedicate your house to God, but every day, as you, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be, you will be inviting your Savior into your home. And another thing Mom always talked about and reiterated today was, how would you feel if Christ walked into your house? Are there things on your walls, in your, on your TV, on your computer, on in your books, anything that you would just be embarrassed if Christ picked up and asked you about? And she kind of said, well, would you keep him out the door and say, just give me 5 minutes, I need to clean up? But on a serious note, though, what do you have in your home that Christ wouldn't want to be there, as we are inviting him through his spirit into your home to protect you, to guide you, to keep you? And if you're inviting him, you probably don't want to offend him with things that you're accepting into your life. We can't really expect to build a sanctified city, build a holy city of Zion, whether it's physical or spiritual. That's a different ballpark, I guess, but we're called to build Zion. And we can't really do that if we can't have a home, a physical house with just our family that is sanctified and devoted for the Lord. We are supposed to sanctify everything, supposed to have a home. It's all a type and shadow, and that all kind of, initially it was always confusing, but it kind of makes sense if you go about things randomly. Things just kind of click and it makes a little more sense. But we need to be able to have a home that is one heart and one mind and is serving the Lord actively, if we can ever hope to have a church that is one heart and one mind and serving him actively. And this is just a small step, but if we start in our homes, it always starts in the homes. It starts with baby blessings, with baptisms, with teaching the children who their Savior is. And it goes, as they grow, that is an anchor, that is a beacon for them. No matter how far they stray, they will always, in the back of their mind, know, well, my mom talked about this when I was a kid. And so if you just continue from the home, always bring up Christ, always provide a godly example for your children, for your guests, that can extend to your church. Always have the same thing that you do in your home, in your church, as a body, as a church family. And then possibly extend it to other branches and to maybe even the world. That would be just one big giant leap from the small step. But if we ever have a hope, it's here. I do apologize, this isn't the most lengthy sermon, but in conclusion, we're supposed to combat Satan on all fronts. That includes our home, that includes our life, our work, our conversations. We can do that through sanctifying your home, through your life, building up a hedge around your life, around your home. And with your life, that includes your thoughts, which is a thought that really scared me, because there's a lot of stuff, just a fleeting thought where you're like, man, that wasn't the best thing to be thinking about. But you can always combat that with a quick prayer. Father, keep that from me. But then you also have to actively work to not be thinking anything. But you have to keep the head strong with a sanctified lifestyle. Lifestyles that invite Christ into your home, into your life, into your heart. Always be thinking, I'm going to completely butcher this, but in constant prayer, I'm sure that's the right thought. But you need to always be praying, whether it's an actual prayer or just, I always kind of trail off the end of my prayer and then pick up where I left off later, just as an active conversation, if you will. But if we can all do this, we can eventually do the one cause that our church really, I've always heard over and over again, we want to do is build Zion. We want that refuge. We want that city where we can come and have the sick and the injured of the world and tell them who we serve and why we serve him and the absolute wonder that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do thank you for this opportunity, and God bless.
Good morning. I'm here to repay a favor that you allowed as a congregation to have George visit with us in Hawaii. I don't have to tell you that George loves to fish. He really enjoys fishing. The problems that we've had in Hawaii for a while, and see, when I look at your congregation, I remember our congregation in Makiki looking just like this at some point in time. Today it's a fraction of that. I asked George when he first came to Hawaii if he would help support the body as well as try and look for those fish that we have lost. Because if you can imagine, the congregation used to be full. We had vibrant services. We had great visiting ministers. I look at the Smith family because I remember visiting ministers and missionary families who were so vital for us as a congregation and for us as a church in Hawaii. Having George there brought some of that back. He touched a lot of lives while he was there. He met with people that we had forgotten, people that we had written off our rolls, and he was able to bring the Spirit of Jesus back into their lives, and for that, I am eternally grateful. The man also loves to eat mango ice cream. I don't know if you know that. We couldn't keep the stuff stocked in the freezer. Thank you, George. There's an old woman dying from an illness. Two missionaries came to her house, administered to her, and a miraculous healing occurred. Her two children saw what their mother went through and became and were converted to the church. One of her sons dated my mother. And from that, her parents were converted. All her brothers and sisters were converted. My cousins and all of my nieces and nephews all became Christian, all became Latter-day Saints. From one administration and one miraculous healing. I am a third or fourth generation from that. There are many other family stories like that in Hawaii, just like there are many stories like that here in the center place. We are tied to each other through these stories. They are a part of us. When people hear our stories, they want to hear more. They want to know why we are believers in Jesus. Our stories in Hawaii are just like yours. We have experienced those same blessings. And we try and tell our friends and our neighbors about our blessings whenever we get a chance. I am grateful for this opportunity. I am grateful for George and for what he has done for us in Hawaii. I hope he is able to come back. I'll tell you, he became Hawaiian in a week. He went out and bought the Aloha shirts. I told him, put away that coat and tie. You're never going to use it here. Get out your shorts and your flip-flops, because that's all you're going to be wearing. Thank you, George. Thank you to all of you who supported him while he was in Hawaii. And also thank you to Jeanette, because I know she endured for 3 months without George there. Thank you all.
In closing, let's go ahead and turn in our hymnals to hymn number 124, and we'll sing about the joy that we have in this world. So, hymn number 124, and we'll stand for the singing of this hymn.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you've given to us, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity that we've had this morning to come apart from the world for a while and to praise and worship your holy name, Lord. I thank you for the message that our brother brought this morning, and I pray that the spirit that was here with us today would go with us from this place to our homes, that we might worship and praise you in all that we do, Lord. That we might seek first your kingdom in all of our actions and our conversations, and that we might uplift each other and strengthen each other in our walks. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us, that you'd bless us as we leave this place with safety and protection. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.